Thank you for listening to Servants for Christ. In all that we do and all that we say, we want to give glory and honor to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for tuning us in as we get into the wonderful Word of God. For the next few minutes, let's take the beautiful Word of God and share it with each and every one of you as we have a sense of anticipation to take the Word of God and to listen to its truth for each and every one.
By reading 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. For all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. You may be seated. Father, tonight I thank you for the honor and the privilege of standing on holy ground, and I ask you tonight that you would give us the ability, Father, one more time to stand before and hide behind that cross of Calvary, Lord, that you may use us, Father, Lord, for your glory and honor. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, this scripture that we speak on tonight, let it be crystal clear how that, Lord, that we can explain it on your behalf. For so many controversies, so many different denominations that have their says of this scripture tonight, and it is powerful. And I ask you, Lord, as this scripture is for the believers, as for the Christians, let it be very understanding to them, Father, a precious word of God tonight. Let it change us and let it give us closer ability to be with you, and Father, that you might just guide us and give us what we stand in need of in our time tonight. And Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given us victory in Jesus. Amen. You know, tonight as we look at the text and we see this particular scripture that we have tonight, we see tonight another part of the blessed assurance that this 1 John is dealing with the believer. It's dealing with the Christian. But tonight, I'm going to tell you one of the most important things of all of this that I've preached to you about. Tonight is something that is very important, because it is very important for a Christian to hear this message tonight. For the very fact is, there's times when this emphasis tonight is said it's about being sin and about how there's death that is involved. And I want to remind you tonight that this emphasis, even though that it is, you see me turning pages, I'm just going through some things I'm not going to say, amen. But tonight, this emphasis is on prayer more than anything. But it gets to deal with how that it is not necessarily for sin that leads to death. And then there's an emphasis that is not necessarily on how a Christian crosses over God's particular line that he's got drawn for us. Tonight, I want to talk to you just for a little while about how that we can cross God's deadline. Deadline. You ever heard when the old bully was at Scrooge, he said, go ahead, cross over that line right there, you know. And Lord, of course, if you wanted to, you could step over it, or not, you could just stay back. I know Dewey reminded me this morning. He said, I believe I know what's wrong. He said, your sins are catching up with him. I say, amen, you're right, brother. All them strawberry milkshakes is about to do me in, amen. I tell you, too many every night. It gets caught up with me. But I thank God, I remember, as we look at this tonight and talk about God's deadlines in verses 16 and 17, there is a time that God calls for us to pray for people. And he asked us to pray for everybody. But there will come a time in your life that when you go to pray for somebody, and we're talking about a Christian, that when you go to them, God may say, this time, don't pray for it. You say, whoa, I ain't never heard that before. You want to listen to me tonight, what I got about to say. But there's going to come a time when God will just, the Holy Spirit will come to your heart. And he says, no, don't pray for that person. You pray for their family and their needs, but they're too far gone. They've been stepped over God's deadline. And tonight you want to hear what I have to say, because it affects the Christian believers tonight. Those ones that have done gone too far, that have been stepped over the boundaries of God's deadline that he has for us tonight. But I thank God from the precious word of God that he gives us what we have tonight. He says what? He begins to tell us tonight. And I remember, I don't know how many of you ever heard of J. Harold Smith. He wrote a sermon that was one of the most popular sermons of his time. Why, they was, I mean, I'm not kidding. They were literally thousands of people got saved with just that one sermon. Amen. And it wasn't all about that sermon, but how that God used that man to preach it. And he preached a sermon. It was called God's Three Deadlines. Don't worry, I'm not preaching it tonight, okay? But I just want to mention it tonight because it was such a powerful message that it gave me what we call tonight crossing God's deadlines tonight in these particular scriptures. For the very fact is, in 1 John, in the 15th verse, it begins to tell us, it says that there is a sin unto death. You know, a person that does not know God does not commit this sin. No, I'm going to say that again, okay? Because he began to tell us something here, and when he started out, he said this. He said, his brother, in the 16th verse. And when he said that, follow with me, he said, if any man see, listen, his brother. And when he said that, he summed it all by saying a fellow Christian, one that knows Jesus Christ when he said that. But here is a time, he said, there is a sin unto death. And that person that does not know Christ, that is not a believer, that is not a Christian, does not commit this sin. That's exactly right. Because they never ever, I knew I'd get y'all's attention tonight. Amen. Praise God. I tell you, yeah, I usually do, but I seem like I've got more of it tonight than I normally do for some reason. I'm praising God for that. Amen. It's a person, listen, this is a person who knows the Lord that commits this sin where there is a sin unto death. Amen. That is a person that is tracking on right close to God's deadline that he's got marked in the sand for him. Amen. Somebody that is been not obeying God's will and command in their life. God's been on. Now, don't worry. I believe I can answer you questions you're thinking right now. I believe I can answer you questions. I'm going to even give you your illustrations that you're going to need in just a minute from the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'm going to cover for you in just a minute. But it's talking about what his brother, it said. It said, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There's a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. What is he saying? He said, when it comes to that time, that you're not going to be able to pray for them. When it comes time, when they've already went so far, when they've already crossed over that line that God has drawn in our lives, it won't do any good for you to pray for them anymore. Because God says, I'm fixing to check them out of this world. Now listen, man, I ain't talking about nobody losing their salvation. I cannot find that in the Word of God anywhere where anybody ever lost their salvation, where God ever lost anybody. But I guarantee you, if you don't give him the honor and the glory, I'm just giving you a whole quick one right here summed up. If you don't ever give God the glory and the honor with this body, if you don't do that, and God begins to nudge you and tell you about it, and the Holy Spirit comes to you and begins to kick you about it, convict you about it, boy, when you get so far and go over God's deadline, he'll check you right on out of this world. And I don't care who the best prayer warrior in this world is, they won't stop that from happening because you done crossed God's deadline. Now, I tell you, listen to what he says tonight. One of the things I want to point out to you is I truly believe that the emphasis here tonight, this is a very controversial, if you're not aware of it, there's been all times that's been controversial about this tonight. And you know, there's these two verses that we're talking about. It. I'm not going to try to settle any arguments about any of those things tonight. I don't believe about doing anything like that tonight, but I am going to do this. I want you to know that the emphasis tonight is on prayer as well. I mentioned the other day about prayer, and tonight the emphasis is still about prayer, but it's also about the time in someone's life that all of a sudden they done went too far with God. John had just finished telling us how to get our prayers answered, amen, in the 14th and the 15th. When we look back, he tells us that, amen. And John tells us that we get our prayers answered when we pray according to the will of God. But here in the 16th and 17th, John makes an application of this prayer. John is saying that when a Christian falls into sin, it is the will of God that we pray for their restoration and their repentance. It is the will of God that he would have that done in his life, I tell you. He wants us to be able to pray for people that fall short. That is our obligation to do that for any of our brothers and sisters if we see them. And this is one where they didn't, I'm going to get into it in a minute, amen. I'm going to tell you, they didn't have to hear about it. They saw it, is what John said here in the precious word of God. He said what? He says, if any man see his brother. It didn't say he heard about it, that, you know, he thought about it. It said that he saw him. He was sinning. He caught him. He saw him with his own eyes, his brother that was sinning. Amen. But first of all, I want to go in to try to explain this, how that he talks more and how effective that intercessory prayer is when we pray on the behalf of our brothers and sisters. And that is what we're required to do with the love of Christ in us tonight. Amen. It is useless, though, to pray for a Christian who has committed a sin unto death. I know you want me to hurry up and get into it. I can't wait myself. Amen. I'm telling you again, it is useless to pray for a Christian that has committed a sin that is unto death. He makes it clear for us in just a minute, because there is two ways that he separated this thing for us in just a minute. First of all, I want to talk about the failure of an unholy saint that has been seen. It's evidence, because it says, if any man see his brother sin a sin, I'm going to stop there, because this tells us that there's times when Christians will fail. Every one of us have failed, and we trip at some time or another. And there are going to be times that Christians are going to fall. I'm going to tell you now, John divided the kinds of sins that a Christian can commit into two categories. He said, number one, he said there is a sin that is not unto death, and there is sins that do lead to death. He put them in two categories when he talked about it in the 16th and the 17th. And one speaks of the characteristics of sin, and the other speaks of the consequences of sin. And that is the categories that he has when he does these two. Now, first of all, he begins to describe these sins. First of all, he says in the 17th, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. You know, I believe that the reverse is true on that, because all sin is unrighteousness. All sin is. And this reminds us that there ain't no big sins, and there ain't no little sins. There's sin. And God looks at it upon the same way every time. Amen. John makes no attempt to minimize any act of the sin. John's not saying that there are some sins that are unimportant. Okay? He's not saying that. Okay? But one of the tragedies of American life is that there's the loss of the awareness of sin. Before long, a Christian is in some sin so long, they ain't even aware that they're in sin. You say, oh, hot water. Hey, I'm going to tell you, there's some people that way today, that they've been in a sin so long that they get to where they're unaware of that sin. It's there. It's still sin, just as big and bold as it ever was. But I'm going to tell you something. God says that it's sin, amen? And he tells us what? He says the wages of sin is death. That's the Roman road, amen? I tell you, the soul that sinneth, the Bible says that it shall die. That's exactly right. And we see that there are many ways that we can describe the acts of sin that a Christian commits. I'm going to tell you, this is for the Christian tonight. But I'd like to narrow it down to two ways here. And I believe the Bible describes it in the life of a believer, is that there is a failure to obey the commandments of God. There's a failure. You can go back to 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And it says, whosoever committeth sin, transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. You know, John says that sin is a violation of the holy law of a holy God. That's what he's saying. I'm telling you tonight. And there's three ways that a person can express their sinfulness. If you don't know this already, I'm going to tell you tonight, amen. There's three ways that a person can express their sinfulness, and I believe that you do. First of all, they can by what they think, by what they say, and by what they do. I'm going to tell you, think, say, and do is how you express your sin as a Christian today. That's how it happens. Listen carefully. There is no area of life that's not covered by a principle or by a commandment in the entire Bible. God's got it all covered. There's no way out. There's no clause. There's no catch in this thing, you know, where it can turn around. All three violations are all of the commandments of God, I'm telling you. And the commandments of God are nothing more than the principles and the precious word of God. And it is a book of principles, amen. And that is why the Bible is not full of thou shalt not, okay? I tell you, because all of these commandments that are everything that you want to do in life, they're there in the Bible. But it's not full of thou shalt not, but they're there. They're there that it's telling you and it's commanding you not to do this, amen. It's saying that there is a failure to obey these things. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. First of all, what did we just say? What should you think? Let's take it from the Scripture tonight. The three sins that we can express our sinfulness in, what should you think? Let me give you the Scripture. Philippians 4:18, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, I tell you, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, listen, it says, think on these things. Huh? What was the other one? It says, what should you say? What does the Bible say about that? It says in Psalms 19, verse 14, it says, let the words of thy mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to tell you something. It also tells us, what should you do? Bible says in Colossians, in the 3rd chapter, in the 17th verse, it says, and whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. No matter what it may be, all the unrighteousness, I tell you, is sin, because all sin is a failure to obey God's commandments. It's plain as day. Now we said what? That there is the failure to obey the commandments of God, but there is also the failure to honor the character of God. And that is what happens. Psalms 11, verse 7 says this, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, his countenance doeth behold the upright. When a child of God sins, I'm going to tell you something, they dishonor the very character of God itself. I truly believe that there are some Christians that could really do better than they're doing today. Look, I'm going to tell you something. Don't worry, I ain't going to point my finger at you. But the Holy Spirit will. It will point it right dead on you. And it'll let you know when you're doing wrong in your heart. I thank God. It said in 5:17 here, right? It said the 17th verse. It says, all unrighteousness is sin. And I'm going to tell you, whether you want to be a perjure yourself on the witness stand or just flat tell out a lie or a white lie, all sin is sin. That's all that it is. I'm going to tell you, the little word all, it says all unrighteousness here is sin. And that little word just speaks volumes. It's amazing how Christians try to trivialize sin in their life. All sin is. Well, I do this, and I really got to do this, you know. It's funny how that we can kind of defend ourselves with sin sometimes, because we really try to defend it. But he says, all unrighteousness is sin. I'm going to tell you, Charles Spurgeon said this, and I quote him. He said, it's never right to do a little wrong to obtain the greatest possible good. Your duty is to do the right. The consequences are with God. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, nobody can call what they do right unless it is right in the eyes of God. And I tell you, we see here the description of all the sins, and it gives the characteristics of the sin. And there is a description that is there. But there is also the danger of some sins. There's the danger of some sins that's coming in. Because in verse 16, it said that there is a sin which is not unto death. And there is a sin unto death. I'm going to tell you. Now, this tells us that there are consequences to all sins. But there are some sins that bring on greater consequences than others. That is simply what that is saying. If you're trying to figure out all of that back and forth, that is all that it's saying tonight. We look at the phrase that there is the word a sin unto death. And I'd like to answer this because, first of all, that little word a, it really doesn't belong in that verse, but it was put in there to make a complete sentence out of it. It really reads like this, if I can get it out, amen. There is sin leading to death. And that is exactly, you know, what does John mean by sin unto death? What does he mean by that, you know? In other words, there is a sin, there is a type of sin which leads to or leans toward death is what it's saying. There is a sin that moves in the direction of death. That's what he's saying when he does this. John is not referring to a specific sin necessarily, okay? I will give you some illustrations, but rather John is referring to the condition of the heart. Someone that's been hidden away with sin. Remember, this ain't a sinner because a sinner ain't never been saved. Now, I'm going to tell you, a sinner ain't never been saved, so we're not referring to them. They've never got salvation. And this person that we're talking to about right now never lost their salvation. They never lost their salvation. They still got their salvation, but they've been living in sin. And God's been knocking on their heart. The Holy Spirit has been doing a number on their heart, time and repeatedly again, bending over backwards, trying to give them that opportunity that they need to get right, but they still haven't done it. And God's still saying, he's saying, I'm going to get the glory out of you no matter what. Says, if I have to take your life out of this world, I'm going to do it, but I will get the glory out of your life no matter what. This person which commits sin, which leads and to leans toward death is what they're saying. They have a stubborn spirit about them is what he's saying. That person that has a rebellious attitude, that's about them. I'm talking about a Christian, that's right. I'm talking about one that got saved by God's marvelous grace. That's who I'm talking about, amen. And this person willfully pursues something when they know that God has said that it is wrong. Boy, this is one of them messages people don't like to hear, amen. I'm going to tell you, they don't like to hear this type of message that I'm preaching tonight. But I'm going to tell you something. That is someone that willfully, he says what? He says, what does he mean by sin unto death? But he says, who can commit this sin unto death is the second question. Who can commit it? I'm in the book, y'all, tonight. I'm telling you, I'm in the Word. I'll tell you, according to John, a Christian commits this sin. A Christian is the one that commits this sin. Amen. John refers to this person as his brother. That's who he did. Now, this automatically tells us what kind of death he's talking about here because he's not referring to a spiritual death. That's exactly right. He ain't referring to a spiritual death when he talks about this. John 5:24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and hath not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We're talking about someone here. It is not referring to a spiritual death. But it is referring to a physical death. Someone that's had this body, this fleshly nature body, that they're a Christian, and they're not giving God glory with that body that God's given. They're doing everything right. They're, what did it say? Willfully pursuing to do all of these other things. I'm going to tell you, they are some hard-headed folks out there. May not be none here, but there's some hard-headed Christians out there that what? Bible says that they're leaning toward death. When they do this, they're leaning toward God's deadline just so that they're fixing the cross right over where God says, this is it. Oh, I'm going to tell you, this is it right here. And it reminds us, I tell you, that it's impossible for a person to pass back from life unto death. That's exactly right. Think about this now. Look, God will divide the Red Sea so that, and he'll let Israel go over there into Jordan. He'll do that. But God won't divide the Red Sea to let them go back over into Egypt. No, he won't. That's exactly what this verse is talking about. He'll divide the Red Sea so that they can get away from harm's way and they can go over into Jordan where God permitted them to go. But he will not divide the Red Sea where they can go back over and get Egyptianized again. He won't do that. He will not do that, amen. And that is exactly the simplest way that I can put this that I'm trying to tell you tonight, amen. John is referring to the physical death for those ones that does that, amen. I tell you, now listen. Now this sin unto death, I'm going to make it clear again. I'm saying it another way, okay? This is not the unpardonable sin. Because we're talking about Christians here. This is not the unpardonable sin that we're talking about. I'm going to tell you, what is the unpardonable sin? Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. That is someone that has refused to accept Jesus Christ into their life. So we're still talking about a Christian here when we're referring to this, amen? A believer that has a heart that is hardened toward repentance. That is who we're talking about. Commits that sin unto death, amen? The believer that has a continual rebellion against God commits that sin unto death. That is right on the verge of that line that God has drawn, that deadline. So there's the failure of an unholy saint that has been seen. But secondly, there is the faithfulness of a unique saint that is sincere. That is sincere. I tell you, as we're told this, we begin to look at the precious scriptures tonight. And it says in the 16th verse, it says, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. That sin not unto death. That is someone that we're to pray for, amen? And there's two things that a Christian should do when they see someone living in sin that's living a life of failure. He's saying, we've got to pray for them. He's saying, we've got to get down on our hands and knees. And there is a spiritual perception about that that we've got to do. And he says, if any man see his brother sin a sin, you've got to see it. And it says, what you're supposed to do, you ain't supposed to go tell Sal. You ain't supposed to go tell John about it, but you can get down on your knees and begin to pray for that person you saw sin. If you saw them in sin, you just get down on your knees. You get wherever you do your praying, and you get down and begin to pray for that person that you saw, that you know was a Christian, that is sinning. You don't go talk about it. You don't go tell somebody else about it. You get down on your knees, and you begin to pray for it. You know, one of the favorite indoor sports of the church ain't soccer. It ain't soccer. You know what I'm saying? Because when you kick a ball around, you know, that's gossip. That's gossip is what that is, amen? And when you kick the saints, that's hurting them around, buddy. I mean, they ain't no soccer ball. They're precious saints of God that we're talking about here tonight. And it's not easy talking about this tonight. But I'm telling you, because you're going to see somebody out there that is in sin, that they are a born-again Christian that are sinning. And I want you to know, if you've ever saw this, because me being in my ministry, I saw it a couple of times where I had to go to the hospital and the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about someone, or I went to their house and the Holy Spirit began to nudge me and says, don't pray for that brother or that sister, but pray for their family, because there's nothing else that you can do for them. Go ahead. I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to tell you, you think you ain't never experienced it before, but one of these days you will. Someone that's been that contrary. Galatians 6:1 says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted as well. It's saying the correct way. If a church is a godly church, if the church is filled with godly people, sin will automatically stick out like a weed in a garden. And I guarantee you, it ain't sticking out here because it ain't so, amen. It would stick out. In any church it would, amen. It ain't sticking out here because it's not here, amen. But if it was here, it'd stick out like a sore thumb. It'd stick out like a weed in a garden, man. Because sin is evidence where it's not. But I want you to think about this fact around Christians. I tell you, as we look at this, you'll not find one perfect person in this building tonight. Because there ain't not a one of us perfect. And somehow, brother, you may trip up, or I might trip up, and Lord, hope we don't. But if we do, I need you to pray for me. And if you do, I need to pray for you. Sister, I got to pray for you. Brother, I got to pray for you. And that's what John is talking about tonight. That's what makes us strong in our Christian maturity tonight. By able to do this. John is saying that there are some things that are done in the church that are against the things of God. And therefore, when you see them, not hear about them, okay? But not someone else. Listen, he said, when you see them, just pray for them. That's exactly what he's saying here tonight, amen. Don't condemn them, I tell you. Don't condone them. And don't try to join them. But listen, help them. by praying for him tonight. Amen. Proverbs 18:19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Buddy, I'm sorry a lot of times. I've made somebody mad at me, but I'm going to tell you something. I had to make somebody mad at me to get them back to where God wanted them at. They were only mad at me for a little while, but when they realized what God wanted to do in their lives, they realized that I loved them more than I ever. That whatever I said to them, that it was because I had to. I tell you tonight, I thank God. Some people will cry bitter tears. They may have bitter feelings towards you at that moment sometimes when you do this. I'm telling you how to handle this. I'm telling you. But I'd rather see bitter tears flowing down. I'd rather see bitter feelings exposed for the moment while you're trying to help them, okay, church, than to see them go on and cross God's deadline when He can't get the glory out of them anymore. Because as soon as God can't get the glory out of you, He'll take you on out of this world. And I guarantee you He will tonight as well. Or up our sins when we're caught in them. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And I thank God for that tonight, amen. He gives us this, that we're to rebuke it. What this church needs, in fact, what every Bible-believing church needs, is some spiritual people who have a real love for God to have that spiritual perception. That when you see it happening, do what John's telling us to do. Pray for them. Help them tonight, church. I don't care. It might be your daughters. It might be your son. It might be your in-laws. It might be anyone in your immediate family or your co-workers. But when you see them, John said, look, there's one that's not to death and there is one that is unto death. That's what he's saying here tonight as he tells us there. But he says we need to be steadfast in prayer. In the 16th, he says, what? If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life. What did you do when you asked? You got down on your knees. God says, if you ask not, you receive not, didn't you? Huh? If we're to receive, we're to ask. And that's what he said. He said, ye shall ask. And that is what you're doing when you're getting down on your knees in prayer. You're asking on their behalf. That God would stop the sin in their life. God would get, I pray for her sometimes. God, rock their boat, God. Wake them up at night, God. Make them miserable at night. And it sounds like it's horrible. But listen, to get them to not keep going across God's deadline. There's a gentleman, a young man just not long ago that went across God's deadline. That's exactly right, he did. I tell you, but you know who I'm talking about. But he went across God's deadline. And God took him right out of this world just recently, not long ago. I'm going to tell you something. Go to God and intercede to them so that God will withhold judgment from them. I'm telling you. What kind of judgment? Listen, they've been bought with a price they paid for. But the judgment I'm talking about is physical death, not spiritual death. Don't forget. You'll know this better than you've ever known it before after tonight. I'm telling you. The theme in this verse is still prayer tonight, amen. All that we see in this, amen. We need to what? We need to put them on our prayer list. Our prayer list ought to be long. The deacons, we ought to have a prayer list. Pastor got a prayer list. Hey, Sunday school teachers ought to have a prayer list. Amen. Every one of us, we all ought to have a prayer list. We got a prayer list on the bulletin. That prayer list, we ought to be praying for people, just like I'm talking about from 1 John tonight, that are doing this. I'm telling you tonight. Listen, we're told all of these things tonight, amen. There's a loss of the treasures that takes place for us. I tell you, when does a person get to this point? Okay? When does a person get to this point tonight? What will happen when a person reaches that point to where they have committed sin that leads to death? Well, they've got just right there. Huh? There's a loss of treasure that has happened. There will be rewards. That will be a loss. And I'm going to tell you something. 2 John 1:8 says, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have lost, but that we receive a full reward. Keep in mind, John is not talking about a specific sin committed. John is talking about a condition. I've done said that once, but I'm saying it again because I do it in threes or twos sometimes, amen, to get you to remember it. We're talking about a condition of the heart. That's exactly right. That's how serious this is tonight. That is what? An attitude. It is an inward rebellion, I tell you, that is against God, that leads towards death. Right on the verge of stepping over God's deadline. I tell you tonight, church, there are treasures that God wants us to have. And if you don't do the potential that is within you, if you don't live up to what God has called you to do, listen, I'm going to tell you something. It isn't where he's just going to snuff you on out of here. I'm talking about somebody that is willfully sinning and keeps willfully sinning. And God's trying to get their attention. And God's trying to get their attention. He said, hey, I know somebody that's been sinning for over 20 years. I beg your pardon. But according to the Word of God, they haven't been sinning no 20 years or God would have took them on out of this life. That's somebody that says they're a Christian and they've never been a Christian. God ain't never saved them. They ain't no grace ever went into their heart life or in their heart because they've never ever been saved. Because if you're truly saved and you try to do against God and sin against God, God eventually will bend over backwards trying to get you back. But if he can't get you back, he'll take you right on out of this life, a short of the time that he had for you to stay here. He will do that, I'm telling you. Moses, I told you there's a loss. There was a loss of treasures, and there was a loss of time. Moses never got to go to the promised land. He was supposed to, believe it or not, I don't know if you know this, but Moses was supposed to go into the promised land with them. Amen. But what was it that did this? What was it that let Moses cross the deadline of God? Simply not obeying God, what God told him to do. You say, that's pretty harsh. That's the way God's laws, his commands, his principles are in the precious Word of God. He was a great man. He was a prophet. He was the one that was called down from God to go to Egypt and to bring the people out. But Moses himself did not enter the promised land. For the very fact, what was it? He told him, he said, now you smite this rock one time. But then the next time when he said for him to get water out of the rock, Moses let the people get to him. You know, he let the people get to him. And he got uneasy about things. All of this, his patience began to grow out within him. And he got weak in that area. And the next thing you know, because of what he was hearing from the people, he hit that rock the second time and God says, speak to it. He says, speak to it the second time. But Moses disobeyed God. When we disobey God, I'm going to tell you something. If I had not have done what God's called me to do, boy, I'm going to tell you, I very well may not be here right now. God would have just went ahead and called me on out of this life short of what it is because I done stepped over his deadline that he's got for us in our life. Who else do we got? We look and we see all the things that it says. He says in James 3:1, he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we should receive greater condemnation. Who was it else in the Bible? Achan. They were at Ai. And what did he do? Why, that Christian brother, what did he do? He took the Babylonian garments that they had over there that was left over. He took the silver. He took the wedge of gold and he went and hid it. And he took it. And God brought it down. He was going to bring it down upon all of God's people. But all of a sudden, Joshua got down over there, and they began to pray, and God revealed it to Joshua that it was Achan, that Achan had sinned. You know what they did? They took Achan and his entire family, all of his children, and everybody out there. And that sounds harsh, okay? But this was it. And they stoned every one of them to death because of the sin that the head of the family had done in that time. He was crossing over God's deadline when he did that. I'm going to tell you something. In the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians, in the 5th chapter, in the 5th verse, Paul tells us that over there, he told them, that he said, just turn them over to Satan. There were some folks that was in the church over there. And what did he mean by that? He didn't mean they lost their salvation. He says, physically, we're just going to turn him over to Satan. Let him kill him. Let him take his life. That's what he was saying. But they still going to go to heaven. That's exactly right. Read it for yourself. 1 Corinthians 5:5 over in the Corinthian church. You know what they were doing? There was adultery among the church. And God said, you're going to cross over my deadline? No, you're not. All of a sudden, took their life right from them, boy. I'm going to tell you something. This is how God does today. Who else did we have? We had Ananias and Sapphira, didn't we? One of them, while they were just as bad as the other, the husband and the wife was, said, oh yeah, we sold it for this much. And they held some back. And they were going to let on like the whole of the church that they give everything. But they didn't. And to that, what they did was to God. They had a lie to God when they did that because what they represented. And I'm going to tell you something. God says, All of a sudden, here the man of God was. Peter was right there. Simon Peter began to go to the wife, Sapphira, says, hey, well, did you sell it for so? And as soon as she said the wrong word, as soon as she stepped over God's deadline, she was dead. God took her right on out of this world, just like the same men that come and got her husband come and got her and took her right on out as well. I'm going to tell you something. Of all these things, I'm going to tell you, God gives us these many things. People coming. There was another time, I'll say, I'm going to close with it. I ain't going to go on anymore. There were some people that come to take the Lord's Supper, and they did it in vain. They came, and instead of taking it and remembering of what it meant, of the death of Jesus, they went and they said, we'll just drink some excess of wine. We'll just have us a little party where the communion service here. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, God took them on out of this world because they stepped over the line beyond the boundaries that God had set for them to do. Amen. I thank God, amen, that He gives us what we need today. And He will let you know. You worried about bending over the boundaries? You ain't got to worry about that. God will bend over backwards. You'll know it if you're bending over backwards. I guarantee you. Before God takes you over out of this world, or if you see somebody that's going through that, I pray that you pray for them and share this wonderful message with them. Dr. Homer Lindsay, he's done gone on to be with the Lord. He was down at Jacksonville First Baptist. And brother, Lord, help me. The Georgia pastor, amen. Lord, have mercy. Well, I can't think of his name for some reason or another. But anyway, Dr. Homer Lindsay, he said this. He said, many church members must not be saved because if they were living the way that they live, God would kill them. I'm going to tell you something. That's the truth, amen. They can't be saved because if they was living the way they were. Dr. Homer Lindsay, what a wonderful, powerful man that guy was, amen. Or he had a compassionate heart. Now, before anyone here in this building loses heart tonight, I want you to keep something in mind. I want you to keep this in mind. God will come to you tonight, tomorrow, and He will deal with your heart. He will deal with your heart, and He will call you to repentance. Don't you worry about a thing. He will. The Holy Spirit will come to your heart, and He will deal with you. But it's someone that's out there, and you may have saw somebody like this that we're talking about tonight that is in this condition, that goes this far, and they're saying no to God. They're saying, God, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to tell you a simple illustration about this, that we're to pray for these people in my closing here. Dr. H.A. Einstein, I don't know how, California, been gone to be with the Lord a long time, blind man, couldn't hardly see, led him around. But boy, you're talking about he could see the Scriptures. He knew the Scriptures better than anybody, even though he couldn't even see. He said this illustration one time. He says he used this as an illustration. He said, sometimes you see children playing outside. And all of a sudden, they're getting into trouble. Mama goes to the door and says, if you don't quit getting in trouble and doing that, I'm going to bring you inside. Mama, I'm going to do better. Okay. All of a sudden, the second time, Mama looks out there and sees them kids playing. All of a sudden, they're fighting. They're doing the wrong thing. Says, kids, I'm fixing to bring you inside. Then kids again say, Mama, I'm going to do better. I'm not going to do it anymore. Next thing you know, Mama looks out there again and kids are still out there. They're doing it again. They're getting in trouble and they're fighting. Mama says, you're coming in. All of a sudden that kid says the same thing. Says, Mama, I'm going to do better. I'm not going to do it no more. God says, no, you're not going to do it no more. Just like Mama says, no, you're coming inside. You're not going to get another opportunity. I've already given you two. Same thing with a Christian that's going to win over God's deadline. Same thing with them tonight. Because God has done bent over backwards with them. And He's already given. Come on inside. Number two, come on inside. But number three, God's going to take you on. Or He's going to take them on. It's as easy as I can tell you tonight. I'm going to tell you the best of this, though. Sounds bad, don't it? I know that I'm going to die someday. You're going to die someday. This body, it can't inherit the eternal kingdom. It has to go back to the dust of the ground. May be caught up in the air. Whew. Praise God. I want to tell you something. One day Jesus is coming back. But I don't want to die failing Him. I want to die being faithful to Him tonight. And I ask you the same thing. When you die, die being faithful to the Lord.
stay with him tonight, church. I thank you. I thank you for letting me share such a hard message with you tonight. Because I know that when I preach this, you're thinking about somebody that's in this category tonight. Yes? I've been down to the house of somebody. And the Holy Spirit said, because I'm going to take them home. And it might be a time in that Christian's life when they really are sick or something's happened. And I don't care who the best prayer warrior in that church is. They'll get their prayer through, but God won't accept it. He said, it's time for them to die. They have crossed my dead line. And that church, 1 John, he's telling us, John that wrote, John the Revelator, John of St. John, John that wrote the Epistles, the same John that wrote this, the same John in the Isle of Patmos, wrote this for us. He said, when you see it, he said, ask. He said, pray for it. Get down on your knees. Don't hear it. Don't go tell it. But when you see it, get down and ask.